God.
Say grace and peace to the household of faith.
Grace and peace, Allah.
Thank God for, hallelujah, everyone being here. Amen. Thank God for his word.
Yes.
Thank God for his goodness, his grace, his kindness, mm-hmm. and his love that he has bestowed upon us before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Isn't it wonderful to know that God had his favor upon you
right.
before you were even born?
That's right.
Before you even had a chance to do any good or evil,
that's right.
God already had your course laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you look at things in that vein, you know, that's where total security is.
Mm-hmm.
When you know that God controls all things. How many know God controls
Hallelujah.
All things?
Hallelujah.
And when you know that God controls all things,
yes.
you can just rejoice and rest in the fact that his security and the essence of his being
mm-hmm.
is all wrapped into what he did for us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And if you are chosen and elected today,
Amen.
You are rich beyond your own measure.
Right.
Somebody say rich. My Comerica checking account is in a deficit. What do you mean rich? Rich. You are rich beyond all measure. Rich, I'm two payments behind in my car. You are rich beyond measure. Because your riches is not to relate to what's happening in time. Your riches relates to what God did for you in eternity. Hallelujah. And what he did for you in eternity is far supersedes what happens in time. Because what happens in time goes up and down. But what happens in the eternal realm, hallelujah, is steadfast, is anchored. And I know that you want your life to be anchored and steadfast
mm-hmm.
into something that never changes.
That's
and
right.
if you can rejoice in that,
then
no matter what happens down here,
mm-hmm.
you can rejoice in the God of your salvation. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your kindness, and your love. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of your being. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us in eternity. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for saving, choosing, and electing us, causing us to be sons of God, daughters of God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Right now, Father, we ask that you will continue to bless and breathe upon the Grace Gospel Church family. Bless all those that are here, Lord. Bless even those that may be on their way, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would breathe upon our pastor, Lord. We ask that you, according to your will, Father, grant him full recovery, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bless the people here. Breathe upon everyone here according to your word. Father, right now, let every word, let everything said, magnify Christ. Oh, God, let us put flesh, anything that does not point to Christ, we ask that you move it aside, Lord, by your will. And that everything points to the finished work of Calvary. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Just we get started, just two things I want you, everyone should have. Number one, of course, you should have your Bible. Amen. That's first. You have your Bible today, and hopefully you have your Interlinear Greek for those that have the Interlinear Greek. Amen. And the document, amen, on that we're going to cover, Lord be willing, some today, the document on the scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. Amen. So we want to tell you this in advance so when the Lord be willing to start preaching, you don't want to be fumbling around trying to find your things. I repeat, you should have your Bible. Amen. You should have your, hopefully, your Interlinear Greek.
Yes.
And the document, the scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. Amen. Thank God. At this time, we're going to go right in the book of Titus. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the book of Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And our reader, Deacon Gavin, is going to be our reader. Amen. You know where we're going. Titus chapter 3.
Yeah.
Amen. Beginning with, why don't we, amen, there's so much I want to say here. Let's go right with, we'll begin with the fifth verse, Titus chapter 3. And we'll read verse 5 through 7. Amen. And we'll go right and begin reading from the Interlinear Greek text. Again, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Okay, D, you may begin.
Titus chapter 3, beginning verse 5. Interlinear Greek text. not by works in righteousness, which did we, but according to the of him mercy, he saved us.
Okay, let's stop. No, notice it. Not by works in righteousness, which did we. We didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
It was all about God.
Right.
It's about all about his grace, mm-hmm. his mercy, mm-hmm. his kindness, yeah. his love, which he bestowed upon us mm-hmm. before the foundation of the world. In other words, yes. we are righteous because God made us righteous. Mm-hmm. We have his favor because God gave us his favor. We are loved because God put the love of God in our hearts. Romans 5:5 tells us, but the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That love of God, the love that God bestowed upon us. Amen. That love shed upon us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that you love God. Yes, you love God. But because God first loved you. Amen. The only reason you love God is because he first loved you. No one can love God. In fact, we're going to look at this in more detail today. No one can love God on their own. God is the initiator of everything we have. He's the initiator of our faith. He's the initiator of our love. He's the initiator of our sonship. All the doctrines of salvation, everything that God has done for us was initiated by his love that he has for us. And this love occurred before the foundation of the world. So you are only righteous. You are clothed with his righteousness, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his love. It was all the results of what God did for you. Amen. God is the initiator of all things. The Bible says, as a corroboration, in the beginning, God created. Amen. In the beginning, God created your righteousness, your sonship, your mercy, your faithfulness, everything you have, God created. You cannot create. How can a depraved man create anything? God had only one thing to work with, and that was depravity. I don't care if somebody, you got a PhD degree, you're still depraved. You can have 10 degrees, you're still depraved. Anything apart from God is depraved. That's why we're only sinners saved by grace.
Right.
Amen. But it was God's righteousness. Keep reading, D.
All right. But according to the of him mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration.
Notice, through washing regeneration. Let's look at this deeper. In other words, God saved us. What was the process? Through washing regenerations. In other words, somebody said, well, I believe, then God, because I believe, God regenerated me and I'm saved. No, they have it all backwards because number one, saints, washing regeneration. This is a double genitive here. Washing and regeneration. What do you mean, preacher? It's a double genitive, which means that the washing belongs. Genitive is possession.
Right.
Who possesses the washing? God does. Who possesses regeneration? God does. In other words, it belongs to Christ.
Yes.
So washing,
Amen.
Regeneration. Mm-hmm. You are washed mm-hmm. by God.
Mm-hmm.
You're regenerated by God.
By God.
It belongs to Christ. Amen. D, keep reading.
And renewal spirit of holy.
Amen.
Which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Notice, God shed on us, saints. He shed. As the king here. As the king, he poured. He shed as the king. He poured on us. What did God pour on you? In other words, he poured on you richly. In other words, richly, he poured on you his mercy. He poured on you his grace. He poured on you his kindness. He poured on you his love. You didn't have anything to do with it. He poured it on you. Amen. You were just a recipient of that mercy, the recipient of that grace. It was all done. It was done. You had nothing to do with it. It was poured on you. Amen.
Amen.
Richly. Now to say he poured on you, that would be enough. But he poured on you richly. God does everything exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask for a thing. I mean, thank God. If he said he poured, amen, wonderful. But he poured on you richly. You are richly and abundantly saved. You are richly and abundantly merciful. The recipients of God's mercy, his kindness, his love. Everything God did for you, he does it all the way to the nth degree. Amen. Because God did it. Hallelujah. Richly by his nature. Keep reading, D.
Jesus.
Let's keep going, D, here.
In order that, having been justified by the of that one grace, as we might be having become.
I'm saved. Now, once I go to church here, once I do this, God will justify me, and then I get saved. Sad to say, tradition has made the works of God. They have all backwards.
Right.
Because we have been taught. I was taught this.
Right.
That if you get faithful,
right,
if you become, if you do, in other words, if you do so many, quote, acts of good works in time, then God will have mercy on you. He'll save you because of your good works.
Mm-hmm.
See, any time you put in, if you put in the formula,
right,
a contribution that you have to do,
right,
church, you have destroyed faith.
Right.
Any small thing, any contribution that you do, you have destroyed faith.
Amen.
You have destroyed grace. Grace is God's merit. Undeserved favor on our behalf.
Amen.
We had nothing to do with it. So here, having been justified, understand, let's look at this further. This is in the subject, it's a subjunctive error, saints.
Right.
In other words, it's a past complete action. Having been justified. You are justified. If you are the elect of God, you are justified in eternity.
Amen.
Past complete action. But the probability, see, you understand, the past completed is a component of eternity. The probability is a component of time. A past completed probability here. You are saved in eternity. But the workings of your salvation out in time, God still controls what occurs in time. But the past completed action is a component of eternity. What God did for you, amen.
Done.
You know, that's security all the way to know that, amen. Because see, if you link the workings of God as completed works in eternity, do you know that's all security? Because the problem that, and the reason that many of God's people are frustrated, nervous about their salvation, insecure, because they are dependent upon depraved flesh to carry out the works of God.
That's it.
And you can be up and down one day, and one day you up, you say, oh, I'm saved, and one day you know, because the flesh is weak, and one day you're going to mess up, and you say, wait, maybe I'm not saved. And how sad it is to go through life not knowing whether or not you're saved. Hallelujah. But if you link the works of God and what God did for you in eternity, no matter what happens in time, you can still be anchored, secure, to know that you have no fear, because you are, your hope is anchored into what God did for you before the foundation of the world. But if you put the works of God in time, you'll read your Bible and you don't know, you'll be so nervous and you don't know what's going to happen, because you have everything linked in time.
Yeah.
For years, something, for years. One thing that every time I stayed out of the book of Revelation. See, I stay out of the book because I read that book and I got scared. And especially, Pastor, I got scared, Pastor. And especially, you know, when you talk about taking the mark of the beast.
Right.
And I said, one day I felt that, man, I said, well, first of all, if I missed the rapture, see, you messed up there.
Right.
Because if you are saved in eternity, you will make the rapture. You have already made the rapture. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher, you've already made it? You have already made it, because God has decreed, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you have already made the rapture.
That's right.
But how sad it is to know that you're not sure whether you're going to make the rapture.
Right.
And then in your mind, you figure one day you have a bad day, you miss the rapture.
Right.
And then, in fact, there are some best-selling books out here, and people, and then Lord have mercy, the saints have bought them up.
Yeah.
And bought these books up. What to do when you miss the rapture.
Yeah. Oh,
and man, those books, those people, those guys are getting rich.
God.
on those books. So the saints are fearful. They don't, you know, because they don't read, they don't study. They go and buy those books. And it's like, when you miss the rapture, here's what you should do. And then all of a sudden say, if you do these things, then you can escape the mark of the beast. Understand, you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. Because those people that are received the mark of the beast, they are the non-elect. And the only reason they're going to retake that mark is because they have been decreed to take that mark. But see, if you had put the works of God in eternity, you know that that does not apply to you. That's God's place and plan for the non-elect. God has a place and plan for you as members in the body of Christ. And the place and plan for you is you are eternally linked with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a member of His glorious body. Hallelujah. You are eternally saved. Eternally justified.
Eternally
glorified. Glorified, yes. You have been glorified in eternity. So you shall be glorified in time. Amen. So, looking at this further, there's security in what God has done for you.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to the document. Amen. You have been justified, sanctified, set free by what God did for you before.
Right.
The foundation of the world. On page 2, what is involved? We'll read this here. What is involved in terms of the document? On page 2, at the bottom, I'm sure everyone has that. What is involved? What are we talking about here? Begin reading.
Amen.
The most subtle, yet self-satisfying form of works. You search the merit of Jesus.
Right, it does.
As it is found to be an engaging feature in the practice of requiring of God's people a confirmation ingredient of salvation in their volition and essence of the Lordship of Christ. What could be more disrespectful to the holiness of God than the assertion that depraved creatures are inherently capacitated by their supposed free will to surrender themselves in complete obedience to Him? How can a depraved creature be obedient to God? How impossible. A depraved sinner. It's no way a depraved sinner, church, can come to God.
Amen.
Because the sinful nature is an enmity against God.
Absolutely.
The sinful nature hates God.
Come on.
The sinful nature doesn't want anything to do with God.
Right.
Yes, we're all sinners saved by grace. But God overruled depravity and calls you to be what? Coming to the body of Christ. And the reason God did this in time, because everything was already done in eternity.
All right. Praise Jesus.
So, in such unscriptural idealism, how can darkened and depraved mindsets of their own accord possibly submit their lives to the guidance of the supreme being, of whom they really know very little about? Such notions depict only human adjustments and resemble in no way the terms of God's divine decree, which concomitantly condemn all men and in testimony reject all supposed merit of them having some condition of surrendering to Christ as their Savior. In fact, the documentation is that perfect salvation was graced to His helpless elect on no other terms than His unsolicited, unmerited, and unconditioned choice to do so in eternity. You see, before we read further, understand, church, that the workings of God is all eternal works.
Yes.
You have to put the workings of God in eternity. God created time. Why would people put the workings of God in time, which is only a capsule of God, of what God's eternal plan is? And one day time is going to be getting, God's going to get rid of time one day. So why focus on, we put everything in time, and one day time would be no more. So if time was such a value, then it would be here all the time. Time is only part of God's purpose in this dispensation. When God removes all the dispensations and everything is in the eternal realm, time would be no more. So time is for our purpose. It's for our benefit. It's not for God. We are captivated by time, but God is not. How can God be captive on anything that he created?
Amen.
And the way we take salvation, God created man, so we feel that, because some people feel that, well, God created man, so it's up to man to come to God. How can a depraved creature who God created make any decision to come to God?
I hear you.
It's impossible.
No way.
It's only a result of God causing you to come to him. God drawing you as what? No man can come to God except he's be drawn. It's all about God and what God did. Amen. It's God's unmerited favor for you. Men and women, we need to get out of the way and let God be God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let God be God. It's all about his grace, his mercy. Amen. Next paragraph. When the underlying issue of dedication to God is scripturally stated in its most demonstrative illustrated form, testimonies of martyrdom are evidence through those who are called to exhibit faithfulness to God, then being enjoined until death, reference of Revelation 2:20. Such personal sacrifice indeed is a glorious challenge to devout believers, men have been chosen to suffer a martyr's death.
That's right.
In this view, when in a zealous advocate of teaching that the Lordship of Christ must be applied as a condition of salvation, dare to propose that in addition to believing on God, one must also be willing to die a martyr's death for him. See, church, you see, in other words, you see what happens? If you don't put, the God's words in what? In eternity, you're going to eventually come up with a lot of conflicts in time.
Sure.
And then what's going to happen, because you got everything, these preachers and bishops got everything, what, rank in time, then what happened? They have to come up with some other false doctrine to cover up what they already said prior.
Right.
And all, it's a what, covering up, changing all the time. Mm-hmm. See, it's one thing, one criteria of truth is consistency. You don't need to, if you're consistent with the truth, you don't need to manipulate. You don't need to come up with no new doctrine. Just let the word is consistent. And just follow the word, amen? So here, amen. Yes, God has caused many to what? Suffer of what? Martyr's death.
Right.
But that was all, that was the grace that God gave them, saints.
Right.
God gave, see, God's grace. God gives you everything you need when you need it.
Right.
And I look at, you know the story, when you look at most of the disciples that what? That were martyred, Paul was beheaded, Peter crucified upside down, according to, right? Many things happened that they were died, and then even the early Christians, what, they were fed to the lions, and all this. And people said, well, how could they do that? Well, see, in that situation, God will give you the grace, and God gives us everything you need when we need it.
Right.
But that was not a requirement for their salvation.
Come on with it, Ellen. Come on with it.
That was only a testimony of their salvation. So what God did for you in eternity, if God put some requirements, if there are some requirements in time, you have destroyed the works of God in eternity. God does not need our help, saints. He is capable. I mean, the God that controls all things, the God that controls the universe, not one little ant can move apart from what God does. Nothing happens apart from the works of God. Listen, God, I thought, you look around, God has been in control from all eternity. I think God's capable of handling his own business.
Yeah, I would say.
So if I believe God's capable of handling his own business.
I would say.
Because he's God.
Yeah.
Amen. Going back to the document here, the very proposal of such a question serves only to demonstrate the ignorance and disregard for the revealed truth which this error exhibits. Depraved persons, because of their condition of spiritual death, are void of the ability to desire the things of God. Go there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:14. Let's go there in the Greek, please.
All right.
Amen. See, this is the key. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse See, what part about people say, well, people say, well, you know what? I was living like a sinner, and one day I just got tired of sin, and then I decided, first of all, you're messing up right there, because whenever you put yourself in it, whenever you say, I, you have destroyed grace. Because it's all about what God did. In grace, see, grace puts the limelight, the focus. Everything is pointing to God. It's not pointing to man. Let's read that in the Greek, please.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, interlinear Greek text. But a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. for folly to him they are.
Uh-huh. See?
And he cannot know, because spiritually, they are discerned.
Now, let's go to 15. But the spirit, what about the spiritual man, D?
But the spiritual man discerns on one hand all things. He, on the other hand, by no one is discerned.
See, the natural man, what I'm saying, the natural man mm-hmm. cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, church, is depraved. Mm-hmm. The spiritual man, the man is recreated in Christ Jesus. God does not communicate with our flesh.
Uh-oh.
It's spirit to spirit. God communicates with our spirit because God saved you in eternity. Spirit to spirit in time. God gave you testimony of what he did for you, and he quickened your depraved self. He woke you up to you for you to see the eternal things of God. But this was because God first quicken you in eternity. And if God had never touched you in eternity, you would never be touched in time.
No way. No way. No way.
So what be occurring right now is only testimony to what God did for you. That's why it is no way a non-elect would ever understand God.
Right.
He's not designed to understand God.
Right.
Because he's what? He's depraved. God is the infinite God. How can a depraved creature understand the things of God? However, because somebody said, well, if this man, if this person is a non-elect, well, ain't no use, they're going to hell anyway, so I can you know, witness to them. See, because you don't know who they are. Because you don't know, hello, saints. Because you don't know who they are. You just share with everybody. It's God's church. It's the Holy Spirit's church. Let God, he's the one that provides the increase. It's his church. Our job is to just to preach the gospel of the grace of God and let God do his best. Let God do the rest. Amen. It's his church. He provides the increase. Yes. What did Paul say? Paul preached the gospel. Paul is water, but God gives the increase.
God gives it.
Amen. Amen. Because God is the one mm-hmm. that knows who his elect are.
Right.
And he's the only one that knows. Amen.
Only one.
Because
only
if we
one.
Try to figure out who the elect are, we're messing up every time. Right. Because those who we think are the elect are the non-elect, and those who think are the non-elect are the elect, so you don't know, so stop trying to judge somebody. Amen. Just thank God that he had you selected in eternity. Amen.
Right.
Now going back here, what happens? It is therefore an extremely grievous error to exert requisites mm-hmm. upon depraved mankind mm-hmm. to exercise their God-given faith mm-hmm. for salvation in the complex spheres of self-dedication, when in fact, unbridled dedication is one's greatest challenge of service to God. Mm-hmm. You see, the big problem, especially in Christian church,
right.
is that man feels that if I do this,
yes.
God will do that.
Right.
No. God did what he did in eternity. And what happens in time is a manifestation or a testimony of what God did. You see, we have it backwards. Most churches today, they feel that, wait a minute. I confess the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go back to the document, right? Mm-hmm. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and because of my confession, God saved me in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that God saved you first, mm-hmm. and then your confession was secondary.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a battle. We feel mm-hmm. that I confess mm-hmm. as primary, mm-hmm. God saved me secondary.
Ooh.
No, God saved you first.
Yeah.
Your confession only followed what God did for you in eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why they mess up Romans. In fact, we can go there right now because they mess up Romans 10:9 because they don't look at they don't exegete it, and all they figure that see I confess the Lord, and but the Bible says, well, if you confess the Lord, you'll be saved. Well, let's look at that right now because see if you understand the what about the confession part? What about how does that tie into God's purpose in salvation? Let's go to right now. Let's go to the interlinear Greek. Let's go to Romans 10, please, verse 9. Romans 10:9. We'll read verse 9 and 10, D, okay? All right. So everybody, Romans 10:9 and 10. Amen. And we're going right to the Greek.
Romans 10.
Yes.
Beginning verse 9, Greek and lineal text. Because if thou confessest with the mouth of thee, Lord Jesus, and believest in the heart of thee that God him raised from dead, thou wilt be saved.
Mm-hmm.
For with heart believes to righteousness, or one believes to righteousness, and with mouth one confesses to salvation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and with mouth. In other words, somebody said, well, I confess with salvation with my mouth, and because I confess, God saved me. Mm-hmm. But first of all, let's look at this first. Let's do some exegesis here.
Right.
Church, we need to understand. Well, in Romans, first of all, if you look at Romans 10:8, it opens with an adverbial conjunction rendered because of. Or an account of. What Paul is saying here is that if you might confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Now listen to this now. Now because, see, some theologians use this verb in an attempt to dilute or even minimize the sovereign election to grace. So let's look at this further. In other words, when Paul says you confess, it's really from the Greek text, it's rendered, if you might confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you might believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, further exegesis here shows, number one, that in the Greek verb translated confess, this is in, now that word that Dee just read, that confess, that's in the subjunctive mood. Now, somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? Listen, hang, just bear with me. Amen. Bear with me. It's in the subjunctive mood. It should read, if you might confess or say the same thing, or affirm that God, what God has said, or establish in the essence of Jesus Christ rendered with your mouth. Thus, listen, one is required to admit that Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin. So for the most part, they will acknowledge him. That is, those who will accept will confess him. Now, with further exegesis, notice the second aspect of the Greek phrase rendered, the subjective mood is the iffy connotation, which is properly translated, you might believe in your heart. See, what God did for you in eternity, you might believe in your heart in time. As a testimony for God's elect, some will believe in time. As a testimony for what God did for you in eternity, there may be some in time that will give no testimony. Are you saying they're going to hell? In other words, there are some that will go through life and may give no testimony. God saved them in eternity. If you put the requirements in time on salvation, you have destroyed what God did in eternity. So there are many what are people call it in false doctrine, false whatever they're called them in, may never confess Christ in time. And somebody says, "Oh, they never confess Christ in time. Oh, so they lost it." Well, if God saved them in eternity, it's not about what you do in time.
Right.
If you're saved in eternity, you're saved. Period. But the degree of the testimony, the degree of the manifestation, that's God's business. And some people will have more testimony in time than others.
Right.
Amen. Now, so as we further exegete this verse, going to be still looking at Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, the if a connotation. Now, some point of the if aspect of the subjective mood espouses a concept of what some people call conditional salvation. It is a fact that confession and faith and belief, now listen to this, it is a fact that confession and belief are conditions of salvation, but they are not conditions to salvation. They are conditions of, but they are not conditions to. The statement, if you might confess and if you might believe, are conditional statements in the subjunctive mood. In other words, the conditions of salvation are tempered by the fact that men are unable to meet or supply the wherewith that are within themselves to confess or believe. Mankind is incapable of what? Believing and confessing apart from the workings of God. Belief and confession are initiated and motivated by God and God alone.
That's it.
I'm going to repeat that again. Belief and confession are initiated and motivated by God and God alone. So the conditions of salvation are required by God, but the conditions to salvation can only be supplied or provided by God. I think somebody missed that. Let me read that one again. The conditions, amen. The conditions of salvation are required by God, but the conditions to salvation can only be supplied or provided by God. The conditions required must be fulfilled by the conditions supplied. Know also that the aorist tense expresses action completed in the past. Past completed action. It's in the past that you are saved. It's in the past that you are redeemed. It's in the past that you are set free. Past completed action. So if you were saved in the past, why you put some requirements on it in time? Because man has put requirements on it to gain control of the people, because they say that if you do this, then you can be saved in time. But see, when you put the workings of God in eternity, you know what? If people understood this, do you know that this would bankrupt many churches? Hello, saints. Hello. People bringing in the money that they feel they're doing. Give God the money. He'll just, thank God, we're not minimizing. Thank God, hey, you got some more today, give it to the church. Grace God, we need it, right? So we're not minimizing giving. But if you put that as a requirement on God, quote, being accepted by God, you have blown it because you have put something in time. Just as a plumb line point, if you put anything in time as far as your salvation, you have destroyed salvation. You have done it because salvation was all the eternal work of God. So it's an aorist tense. So God supplied. So if God supplies the faith for you to believe, and if you the faith God causes you to believe into salvation, then he had made provisions for you to meet the requirements of salvation. But it was all done in turn. Remember what Jesus said. In other words, a reference to one point, a corroboration. In John 14:6, no man can come unto the Father except by me. This is the condition of salvation. But notice, but also the Lord stated, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. This is the condition which leads to salvation. And a question, the condition that leads to salvation, no man can come to God except the Spirit draws him. The person might say, well, you know what? I was living like the devil and whatever, and God, and I just felt God drew me. Yes, you may have felt that God drew you in time, but that's the only manifestation because you were called and elected in eternity. And that was part of God's process for you in time. But it was all linked to what he had done in eternity on your behalf. Amen? So, there's no doubt. So there's no doubt that
No doubt.
Consistency with God's election and call to salvation in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 1:4. If you are God's elect, you will confess with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And as a testimony, God will see to it that you will confess as his decreed testimony for you.
Right.
But God's decreed testimony is different from different people in his elect. Because God is in control of all things. And one church I came out of, it was like, hey, if you didn't go under the name of that church, it was no way you could be saved. See what happens? They put the workers of God in a building, in what? In a system, in a doctrine, in a program. So they say, if you follow this program, you will be saved, and did not know that, wait a minute, this God did everything in eternity before the foundation of the world. It is exclusively through the eternal counsel of God's plan and will and purpose that his elect is placed into a saved and everlasting relationship with the eternal God of glory. Remember, it is all by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Let's go back to the document here. Let's go back. Amen. In other words, it's all about what God did. Amen. Not about you. It's all about what God did. Page 3. What about the minister's role? What's the minister's role in conveying scriptural doctrine? Page 3. Amen. The minister's role entails energetically militating against distorted messages that project the issues of character, conduct, and service as requirements of one's acceptance in the presence of God.
Right.
Now,
right.
When we read this, notice we mention what? We mention what?
Mm-hmm.
Character,
mm-hmm.
conduct,
mm-hmm.
and service.
And service.
Are we minimizing character? No.
No.
Are we minimizing conduct?
No.
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 Are we minimizing service? No.
No.
These are all very important works that God has for you as members in his body. Notice, in the same verse that Paul says, for by grace are we saved through what? Faith. The faithfulness of Christ is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. In the same context, Paul, let's put the eternal works of God in eternity. But then in the next verse, he says, however, we are created unto Christ Jesus unto good works. So, Paul would notice the good works follow the eternal plan of salvation.
Uh-huh.
The good works is the manifestation of what God did for you in eternity. So, Paul was no way minimizing good works. Amen. Paul mentioned a lot about what? Works. Good works,
amen.
That you ought to do. But Paul, when he went to war, then people, you do good works. Because you are saved, you don't do good works to get saved.
I hear you.
And that's what Paul went to war about some of the early Christian leaders. When they tied in works as a part of salvation. Amen. In other words, for by grace are we saved through faith, not as ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not a works, lest any man should boast. Not a works as a criteria for salvation. The works is a follow up. After you are saved, then you are to do what? Do good works.
Amen.
And the good works is all decreed too, because some of God's people will manifest what? Their testimony in time. It'll be a greater manifestation of works than other Christians.
Right.
Some Christians are, we're called to be what? Faithful, loving, kindness. And you know some of God's people are minions of rattlesnakes. Amen. They will, you rubbed in the wrong way. You better, they will mess you. It's amazing at my school. I talk to these teachers. Talk. By testimony, they love the Lord. But I know, if those kids rub in the wrong way one day, they would rub the key aside and they would let them have it. Whatever's coming out, their mouth's coming out. So I'm saying, amen. Thank God. God gives me some grace in the area, but sometimes I come real close. I'm telling you, I come real close. I said, Lord, let me go somewhere else. Thank you, Jesus. I got out there real close. because if that thing had gone any further, I don't know what would have come out of my mouth. Hello, saints. See, because what we're saying, we now have to focus. So what we're saying, we're not minimizing good words and character. But the problem is that when you put these as a component of salvation. Amen. Thank God for his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love. Amen. Now, so the minister's role. So it is critical to declare plainly that the truth as presented in the scriptures has no implicational inference to meritorious input on the part of the grace recipient. Such reminders, as often as they are repeated, preserve God's elect from the deadly supposition that he is seeking to improve their manner of life rather than manifest the salvation of their souls by instilling in their minds the fact of who and what they are in the body of Christ.
Right. Right.
Void of this comprehension, one can only hopelessly perceive oneself as condemned and apart from Christ
right.
without him as one Savior. God's elect must be extricated the clutches of such unscriptural teachings
right.
that explain situations wherewith a large percentage of the members of the body of Christ are habitually addressed
yeah.
as though they were saved on the basis of their constant and adherence to some perceived conditions of salvation.
Right.
When you put conditions to salvation,
come on now.
You're going to open up a whole can of worms. And you're going to put people in bondage.
That's right.
Because you have the workers of God in time.
Right.
And not focus on what God did for you in eternity.
Yes,
there are many people, in Detroit, many places, church everywhere. God's elect. Person may be whatever doing out there. And God may have draw them. And may want to draw them to a church. And you know, many of them, because of these religious systems, they may see this person, and because they may not, quote, look the way they feel they should look to be, quote, in the church. They feel now, if you clean yourself up, if you do this and you do that, then you can come to my church and you can get saved. How erroneous, how prideful to put some conditions on salvation.
Amen.
Amen. You are saved by the faithfulness of what God did for you. And that's it.
Absolutely.
Sadly, it is rare indeed for God's people to gain the correct impression of their secure relationship in Christ
right.
when they believe that they are determinedly included in the appeals made regarding their dead lives.
Right.
The importance of one's attention to this is not appreciated and respected by the ministry, and the fault is nearly unpardonable since the results figure prominently in hindering the growth
right.
and development aspect of many souls. In the conveyance of sound doctrine, no more important obligation rests on the ministry than stealing the sovereignty of Christ's lordship exclusively on his saviorhood of those who were chosen by him in eternity. The scripture doctrine that is born of this theme is that grace teaching is in reference to eternal life in regeneration, which is far beyond that which is manifested only in testimony to the glorious accomplishment of what God previously wrought in behalf of his beloved. Prioritize attention to this is not only in perception of the scripture truth, but it is also in spiritual adjustment to the traditional limitations and conditions of what has been erroneously fostered in antithesis to what is actually addressed in the gospel of grace.
Amen.
The implication of teaching inherently humanly capacitated self-dedication to God is devastating among those who honestly ponder their capacity to accommodate such a requisite. See, depraved, weak flesh cannot meet the requirements. Because of the weakness and inability which they observe in themselves, they are fearful lest they would not be able to hold out under such stringent demands. Hence, it is utterly important to inform God's people exactly what the scriptures teach concerning their newly realized relationship in Christ. First, their relational position is eternal and always has been. It has existed before creation and will always exist because it is not actuated upon them manifest receiving him. In other words, saying, what we're saying, Somebody, you do not have to manifestly receive Christ. If God saved you in eternity, yes, you're saved. But now somebody said, I received Christ in time. That was part of testimony. But that's part of God's process in time. But what you did in terms of receiving him in time, that was not the reason for your salvation. Amen. Amen. That was only a testimony. Everything began in eternity, saints. You have to put the works of God in eternity. Thus, we'll close on this. Thus, nothing regarding the relationship is predicated upon their newly possessed abilities by which they perceive themselves to live to the glory of God. The assurance of eternal salvation is far removed from the practice of introducing obligations which exclusively promote self-performance in character and as something to which they must consent in order to be saved. Multitudes of God's people have been diverted from the basic source and cause of their acceptance in Christ as Savior and Lord to other questions regarding their alleged obligated involvement. Depraved persons are void of any capacity or spiritual light by which to face such requisites and will only be bewildered by such unscriptural and humanly unreasonable challenges. In closing, the underlying issue is not so much whether God's people will default on what is being purported required of them, but rather what is their knowledge base concerning the truth of their placement status in Christ. You see, when you put the placement status of what God did for you, the fact that God had the whole plan and purpose for your life all worked out. You can go through a lot of, how many of you know that if you're saved in time, you're going to go through a lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of trials and tribulations. But if you keep your eye on the course, if you know that my life is already worked out and I win because Christ has won for me in eternity, you can go through the bumps and bruises in life. And life will if you live long enough, there will be many bumps and bruises, but you can take them with the assurance to know that you know the whole picture. And you can be secure, and you can be rest in the fact that you are saved beyond all in all eternity, and you can rest in that fact. But see, knowing the whole picture gives you the security. But if you don't know the whole picture, you would be what, up and down, nervous, because you don't know how it's going to work out. But if you know it's going to work out in time, because it has already worked out in eternity, then you can have the security to know what passes all understanding through Christ Jesus. I close on this one little point here. I remember a few years ago, and see, when you know the whole picture, saints, it gives you the security. I remember I was watching some of you may remember years ago, it was the recount of the Thomas Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard fight. And what I did, see, understand now, I knew the whole picture. It was a rerun. And because I knew the whole picture that Sugar Ray Leonard beat Thomas Hearns that night, I knew the whole picture, but I was watching it. But if somebody didn't know the whole picture, I mean, the first 13 rounds, Thomas Hearns, he was almost killing Sugar Ray. But see what happened, the last round, Sugar Ray just came up and beat Thomas Hearns. But the point is this, because I knew the whole outcome, I could just look, in fact, as bad as it looked for Sugar Ray, I said, he can win anyway. I knew, in other words, I could look at history and know that what history told me, that Sugar Ray beat Thomas Hearns. But if somebody didn't know that information, they would go there, put some money on Thomas Hearns, whatever. They would have been told him out of it because they would not know the whole picture. So, because I knew the whole picture, I could just relax in the fact that, well, hey, Thomas, you won the first 14 rounds, but guess what? You didn't win the fight. We know the whole picture in terms of God's eternal plan, the fact that God saved us, he called us in all eternity. We have it secure, we have peace, we know because God, through the gospel of the grace of God, has shown us what he's done for us in eternity. And because of that, we can have the peace that passes all understanding. And that is why our focus, our energy, should always be preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.